Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Oh, it has been one hot week over here on a due time with Pastor Steph, as we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the due time crew. This week we talked about a different type of relationship. Oh, woo! The relationship issue was quite different. Well, we've got Oregon, who has had a new bill signed into existence, and it's called the Menstrual Dignity Act. And this act requires all K through 12 schools to provide free sanitary products to students, along with instructions on their use. That wouldn't be so bad, but we gotta add this part. Starting next year, 22-23 school year, products will be available in all restrooms, male, female, and all gender restrooms. And they have already ordered and installed 500 dispensers into the bathroom, including the boys' bathroom. Yes. Now, we got some serious issues when we're putting menstrual products in the boys' bathroom. Well, lawmakers plus anticipate that this will be quite some fiasco, as boys don't menstruate. And they are only anticipated to cause some problems. Yeah, well, this is a problem. This is a big problem, as parents are running out of things more and more to even have control over with their children. Yes. So we really have some things that we need to talk about. Yes. Now, what do you think is going on that it would be okay to put... To put those things in the... Oh, my goodness gracious. To put those type of products in a boy's bathroom. Because even if you wanted to pay attention to transgender children, non-binary, you know, all kinds of LGBTQ situations, boys still do not menstruate. So why would you bother to put that, waste money to put that in the school? Well, I tell you, we got to start praying a little harder to make sure that these things are under control, because we really lost control. Well, we could not finish a Monday morning without our switch tip. Remove your calluses. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, what a different twist, you know, we had on the switch tip this week, as, you know, just dusting off, getting rid of, removing all of this here, talking about removing your calluses. You know, that's some real issue right there. Some real issue. And I'm going to advise you to go back and listen to the switch tip for yourself. Yeah. I ain't even going to bother to go back and open up my mouth to say anything about that. But remove your calluses. Remove them calluses and get them listening to Monday's episode. Okay? All right. Well, wow, Tuesday rolled around. Yes, we didn't even get to Wednesday before it became Wow Tuesday. And we talked about the suicide letter. And there was a young lady who was a cheerleader, and she penned a suicide letter. And, you know, I deem it, in a sense, a blessing, because a lot of people actually exit via suicide but don't tell you what happened, what was going on. And she was quite thorough in her thinking. Now, she may have been a little all over the place, but, you know, could you really expect her to be in a clear frame of mind when she was ready to exit this world? And she was determined that she had experienced everything, tried everything, and she talked to everybody in her life who had been a part of her life, unfortunately, before she drowned herself. And it really made for some serious conversation regarding our life in Christ, how we view our relationship with God. As she reviewed her relationship with God, gave us an ability to, you know, get a snapshot over what we, you know, think and how we assess our relationship with God. And, you know, it was a very interesting conversation. And again, I'm going to send you back to Tuesday to definitely listen to, you know, the conversation that ensued after we read that letter. Okay? All righty. Well, wow, Wednesday rolls around, and we got started with our girlfriend Vivian, who brought us those COVID numbers that have still gone up to the tune of almost 10,000 more people in the state of Illinois. And her wow story was about the 26-year-old Mr. Dunn, who was charged with rape and kidnapping of his interviewer. Yes. Well, Mr. Dunn decided he wanted to get a job, and he would pursue a job at a company where a 19-year-old woman was set to interview him. Well, unfortunately, he could not focus because that PYT, as Vivian crowned her was too much for the eyes and I guess the loins and the flesh that he subsequently attempted to rape and kidnap her. And thank God she was able to break free. Well, catching him was not an issue because all they did was take a look at the resume and application that he had submitted, and he had actually submitted his correct name and address. And as Elder Nye teacher said, he said, come get me. Come get me. Yes. Forget about drawing a map to where you are. Man, oh man, oh man. You could tell he didn't think that plan through at all. Well, the ladies did a fantastic job as we talked about ways to minister to those who are dealing with depression. And we were encouraged to stay positive and upbeat and don't let their depression get us down. You know, have you ever had that happen to you? I've had several people say to me, you know, I was talking to so-and-so and, dang, I'm depressed now that I got finished talking to them. Well, you know, you got to stay prayerful. If they can, you know, turn your world around and instead of you ministering to them, they now bring you down. Now, we got a problem. Houston, there's a problem. So we can't allow something like that to take place, right? Right. Well, we ended with the big pray, pray, pray. You know, you got to keep these people as well as yourself lifted before the Lord because this world is dealing with a lot. It's dealing with a lot. And getting depressed is really not abnormal as the pastor, is really, really battling depression these days. Yes, prior to the pandemic, you know, a lot of pastors committed suicide. Quite a few pastors committed suicide. So, you know, you can't underestimate what anybody's going through. I don't care what their position is or whatever have you. People are human. They're human at the end of the day. Yes, they're human. So, you know, let's keep our position as ministers of the gospel, you know, fresh and going and stay before the Lord so that we can help at all times and we do not fall prey to this monster called depression. Okay? Well, Pastor Charlotte sent us out on a high note with her Faith Over Fear segment. And, very encouraging and enlightening, okay? Well, yesterday was Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, and yesterday we talked about the reasons why people, quote-unquote, act out of character. You know, what turns a person's norm, as they would say, to reveal sides of them that they may have had suppressed, hidden, combated. Yeah, well, that ugly monkey shows up from time to time. And, you know, we talked about the fact that lack of assertiveness, you know, will get you there. It will cause you to bust out on somebody. You know, after you've been holding back what you really want to say or you're thinking, and after a while, you just can't take it no more. So you just bust out with it. And, you know, they say you caused me to act out of character. Well, what about the fact that stress can cause you to reveal a side of you that you really thought you had control over, and, you know, just been dealing with a whole lot of stuff, you know, and holding on and holding it in and trying to, you know, continue to live with not bothering you. Well, they say that stress is a silent killer. So sometimes that's what's happened. We had a couple of stories this week where people did some things, you know, that may have been considered out of character due to some stress. So, you know, I want you to go back and listen to how we closed out yesterday's segment. And you just might get a little enlightenment on this out of character concept. All right. Well, today is Freestyle Friday, and we get to do whatever we want to do over here on a due time with Pastor Steph. Well, it doesn't get very complicated because all we want to do is talk to the men and hear what they've got to say. Well, we've got some conversation to be had today. Yes, you wait till you get some of these stories and see how it affects you and your thinking. And if you're going to come out to think of some different things by the end of this two-hour period, and I can't wait. So we're going to take this quick break, and we're going to get that healthy breakfast, and we're going to, you know, tell a friend and do time with Pastor Steph is on. And don't go anywhere, because we're going to be right back.
Celiac disease is a serious genetic autoimmune disease.
It can cause anemia,
osteoporosis,
infertility, and even certain cancers.
Currently, the only treatment
is to eliminate foods with gluten.
The protein found in wheat, barley, and rye.
Foods like bread.
Or beer.
Or birthday cake.
And even on a strict gluten-free diet,
many of us still experience symptoms.
Which is why we need more awareness, understanding, and research.
For treatments and a cure. Learn more at beyondceliac.org.
Well, good morning to you, and welcome to his due time with Pastor Steph. Oh, it's Freestyle Friday. We have gotten to the end of the week, y'all. Yes. God has been so gracious. We have had a week over here. I mean, when you really survey the conversation that we've had, when you survey the stories we've covered, when you really dissect the conversations that we've had, you'll really see how blessed we are. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, it's been a little rough one for me. You know, April was a little rough for me, and I give God thanks because I've come through. I've come through. I ain't killed nobody. I haven't committed a crime that I gotta, you know, go to jail and hope that the judge pardons my behavior and lets me, you know, go through some mental illness clinic opposed to being locked up. You know, I ain't got nobody stalking me. I ain't had to make no hard or tough decisions where, you know, I'm a help bust somebody out of prison. And, I mean, when you really think about what people really have gone through. Think about all the stuff you've gone through, and you're like, dang, was what I would, you know, what I had gone through, was it all that bad in comparison to some of these other people? You know, we had the woman who, you know, sold her child. Yeah, we're going to say that. The article didn't say that, but we're going to say that. Because, again, we know that was not done for free. You know, so whether she sold the child for money or goods, she got something out that deal. You know, married her child off to a man who was almost 50 years, 40 years, 45 years, 35 years older than the daughter, the child, you know, where people feel like they've got to make some real decisions, some tough decisions. You know, you're like, well, you know, what was going on in your life that you had to make some decisions like that? I mean, think about it. You got the woman who was the jail boss but had the romantic fling with the inmate. And, yo, we had some serious stories this week. And I'm not saying it was more serious or less serious than any other week, but just this week alone, you know, when we think about the things that people are up against and the decisions that they made. And you really got to stop and give God thanks for who you are. You really got to stop and give God thanks for just having control over your life, because you don't have control over your life. If God lets go, if he decided to let go, you end up just like these people here, if not worse. You don't have control over your life. You don't. And when we are, you know, talking about, you know, how much time do they get, how much time should they get, you know, I always ask the due time crew, you know, what comes to your mind? Think about the fact that we have a mind that God has taken control over, despite what we've done, despite who we are, despite the decisions that we've made. He has not left us to a reprobate mind, because there's not one of us, and I mean not one of us, who God could not have made that decision about. Not a one. And we have to really think about how blessed we are. You know, I really encourage you. I pray that you really take the time to think about what we talk about from day to day. If not for the grace of God, we would be where these people are. If it weren't for the grace of God, we would be where these people are. We all had the room to be where these people are. When you listen to our testimonies here on His Due Time, you know, with the crew as well as myself, and that's why I say our, I realized that I could have easily been one of these people, whether I was a victim or the guilty, the perpetrator, could have been me. It could have been me with no shoes, no food, and nothing to eat. It could have been me who stalked somebody out and, you know, shot, you know, that person who cheated on me and then shot myself because I didn't want to go to jail, or shot myself because I didn't want to live any longer. I mean, we really need to take a moment and think about this here, a moment, and think about the worst story you heard this week, you know, because your worst story did not necessarily have to be my worst story. Think about it. Think about the story that you heard and you surveyed your own life and said, dang, that could have been me. Again, whether you were the victim or whether you were the one who committed this act, when could this have been you? What circumstances went on in your life where it could have been you? Did you grow up with a parent who was mentally ill and they could have done anything with you? Drug addicted parent or an alcoholic parent, and it could have been you? A parent who could have been driven to make a rash or sudden decision because of their circumstances? Could it have been you, the parent, who allowed their circumstances to make you commit a crazy act against your children? Could you have been that child whose parent snapped? Could you have been that child who went to school and got into something with your child, with your class, and when you looked up, the parent was there attacking you along with some other children? Could you have been that parent who was packed up with your weapon going off to school? Because you got sick and tired of hearing about your child being treated a certain way. How has God covered you when you could have been that individual? When? Was it yesterday? Because it doesn't necessarily have to be that long ago, you know. It doesn't. And we take a lot for granted. We just breeze through life and we criticize people. And you could easily be the one who loses it. So when we say, we get up in the morning and we give God thanks, make sure you're giving God thanks for what he said no to on your behalf. For the times when he's prevented some things from going on and you really wished he had let it happen, but he stopped it from happening because it could have been you at the end of the day, because it would have been you at the end of the day. Because had he decided to deal with you According to your iniquity, it should have been you. Oh, that hurts. Wow. I'm talking in silence with nothing going on behind me today because, or at this moment, because I want you to think about what I'm saying to you. Just some raw thinking. Just some raw thinking today. Think about those challenges of life that could have sent you spiraling out of control. It could have been you. It would have been you. And maybe even should have been you. But God's mercy and grace prevailed. When you should have been homeless, when you should have been hungry, when you should have been poor, when you should have been clothless, when you should have been shoeless, when you should have been jobless, when you should have been walking, when you should have been on a gurney, when you should have been dead, he said no. He said no. Now, not this time. And when he said, no, not now, not this time, it gave you enough room to get yourself together. When he said, no, not now, not this time, it bought you another week where something happened and you were like, dang. No, you were like, damn. I would have been messed up had God dealt with me the way he should have dealt with me last week. Where I would have been one of these individuals. But now, I'm on this side where I'm assessing their behavior. And in assessing their behavior, it's still God helping me to survey my own behavior. How many times have you heard a story and you started talking about, you know, what you could have done, should have done, would have done if you were them, and it made you think about something that you did do or something that you didn't do? And you're like, man. No, see, you like, damn. I'm saying, yes, I'm saying that today. Think about how serious this is. How it could have been, would have been, and should have been me. Sometimes you got to get that real damn. I'm serious. Y'all say what you want to say right now, but I'm going there this morning. Because I know sometimes I walk through this house and I'm like, damn. Yes, that's what I think. Because I realize how I really would have been messed up if it wasn't for God. And I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't do a whole lot of stuff. But just what I did do, what I didn't do, could have brought me right to where we talk about every day. Suicide letter of the young lady who said she had been considering and contemplating suicide from a teenager, and she was 23, I believe. 21, somewhere around there. A freshman in college. But she had been thinking about it from the teen years. And we talked about the depression and how we minister to people who battle depression. Well, how many people minister to us? And they didn't even realize they were ministering to us. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you're going through something, you can hide it. Oh, you can hide it. If you really want, you can hide it. You ain't got to let people know what's going on. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. When you really don't want people to know what's going on, you do a great job at masking it. When you ain't got no food in your house, and you really don't want nobody to know you ain't got no food in your house, so you do little things to make sure you just happen to be there. When you really ain't got no money in your pocket, and you do things, and God puts a dollar in your pocket, and that dollar was stretched until you got paid. When your phone should have been cut off, and somebody said, "Oh, you know what? I could pay it for you." Could have been, should have been, would have been. And you know, we've come to the end of the week. Well, we're gonna talk about some more stories and some more circumstances and survey some more behavior and assess some other circumstances when it could have been, would have been, and should have been me. Think about it. Just think about it. Just stop what you're doing right now and just think about it. Think about it. Think about how it should have been you. It really should have been you. It really should have been you. And I'm talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. It should have been you. But God said no. It should have been you that was the crackhead. Because the same things that the crackhead down the block went through is the same thing that you went through, but they ended up the crackhead and you didn't. It should have been you. That homeless person that you passed in the street, you did the same thing. Or the same circumstances happen to you, but they homeless, and you're not. Should have been you. That person who ain't got a job, they got fired because there was a no call, no show, or they was constantly late. Or they just called in one too many times. Or the job lost money and they had to downsize. And that person got laid off. And your job lost money and had to downsize. One other person was hired after you. So the last one hired, first one fired, didn't apply to you. When you got so drunk that you overslept and woke up and decided you weren't even going to call in, you was just going to turn over. Or you cursed the manager out on the job. But somebody else stepped in and said, you know what, so-and-so did something the other day, and I really want to commend them. And it overrode the fact that you cursed the other manager out. And you should have been fired. And that other person was fired for doing the same thing or something even less than what you did. But you got the job and they don't. It should have been you. It should have been you who had HIV or AIDS. Because you was just messing around that one time. And it got so good, you said, you know what? Before I knew it, we were already there. And there was no condom. And then I heard how many people they slept with. And my next door neighbor has AIDS. And I don't. It should have been me. How many should have been me's are there in your life? How many? How many? How many should have been me's are there in your life and you just gallivant and you have not done what you need to do for God, in God, about God? How many? And you just keep pushing the envelope. Thank God. Trying them. Ignoring them. Disregarding his ways, his rules, his laws. I know that's right. I know I'm not supposed to be doing that. But I'm just going to do it anyway. Everybody else doing it. Everybody else getting away with it. Nah, it should have been me. That's what we need to think about today. It should have been me. Should have been me. Dead. When there was that car accident, and I had just left that site, when I should have been in jail, when someone did the same thing I did, they got caught and I didn't. When someone did the same thing that I did, but someone had mercy on me and they didn't get the right cop. When I should have gone to jail and some other call came in and it was more urgent than mine. And they said, you know what, go ahead. Well, I'm going to let you go. Should have been me. Should have been me. Should have been me. How many should have been me's are there in your life? Today, right now, 7:44 a.m. or 6:44 a.m., how many? How many stories are you going to hear this morning that should have been you? Let's thank God that it wasn't us. Let's thank God that he decided to take control over our minds opposed to leaving us to our own minds. Thank you, God. Just say out loud right now, thank you, God. Just say out loud right now, thank you, God, for allowing me an opportunity to realize how blessed I am in all of this for granted, that I've been dismissing all of my behavior when I shouldn't have had that friend, because I wasn't a good friend. When I thought I was all of that, and something showed me, or I'm seeing right now, that I wasn't a good friend. Thank you that I'm allowed to sit on this job right now. Thank you, God, that I'm allowed to swipe this Metro card. Turn this engine on. Turn the heat on. Turn the lights on. Put a key in a door. Thank you, because it should have been me. Thank you that I can actually breathe this morning, because it should have been me. That I got COVID, and I'm still here. But the man next door, I went to his funeral because he died from COVID. It should have been me. But you said yes instead of no. Or you said no instead of yes. Thank you. Thank you. Just say thank you. And I don't want you to say thank you to you. Don't say this internal thank you. Just say thank you out loud. Enemy can hear you telling God thank you. So you're going to say thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Redeemer. Thank you, the Almighty. Thank you, the Creator. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my brother, my miracle worker. Thank you, the awesomeness that exists above me. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you and thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Come on. Thank you. Out loud. Thank you. Not to yourself. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Where's my brother Al?
Come on.
Good morning, brother Al.
Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning. And I say it out loud, very loud. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How you doing this morning?
I'm thankful.
Me too.
I'm thankful.
Very, very.
I'm thankful, thankful, brother Al. Brother Al, I want to... It should have been me, Brother Al. What? What it should have been me, but God said no. Or it should have been me, but God said yes.
Oh, my God. I got a ton of them. But before that, let me just do my little thing right quick. And it says, the greatest adventure that you can take is living the life of your dream. That's why my girl, Oprah Winfrey. Oh, yeah. Now, it should have been me. Oh, my God. Let me see where to start. It should have been me that's been dead, you know, several reasons. Should have been me because I caught COVID. You know, I caught COVID at its peak when it was hitting heavy. And my tenant downstairs got COVID and died. My tenant's brother lived downstairs from me. He caught COVID and died. So it should have been me. It should have been me who tested HIV positive, where I was running like a fool in college, sleeping with this one and that one with no protection. It should have been me. Should have been me dead when I was hanging out all types of times in my former life and getting so blasted from drinking and drive home that way and get home and get in front of my door and don't even realize how I got home. So I know it should have been me. It definitely should have been me. But God had other plans, and I'm definitely thankful.
Amen, Brother Al. Amen. Amen. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I thank God today. He is worthy. If it had not been for him who was on my side, I know without a shadow of a doubt, it should have been me. It should have been me.
It should have been you. Why? How? When?
Pastor Steph, you know, I'm like Brother Al. In my younger days, I talk about it all the time on the radio. I actually just take trips to see women for no reason. Well, no, I had a reason, but I used to take trips. I mean, it wouldn't take me nothing to get on a plane and just go to another state and meet up with women and do what I do. And listen, I didn't know what was on the other side of it. I didn't know if there was somebody at the airport or somebody at the house ready to kill me, ready to rob me, ready to leave me for dead. You know, and, you know, I didn't know if I was coming home with something that I didn't leave home with. So it could have been me. It should have been me. But God told old death to behave, and he gave me yet another chance.
So many chances we take in life. So many things that we take for granted. Take for granted, Brother Al. And you look back and you go, wow.
Man, what I took for granted, just life. I took life for granted, you know, just doing what I want to do, taking stupid chances, and you know, and the crazy thing about it, you know, it's like you say, in the former days, things happen and you get past and you'd be like, oh, okay, well, I was lucky. Not knowing, no, it wasn't luck. It was that man up there. But just taking life for granted, just doing stupid stuff, get past that, do something else stupid, get past that, do something else stupid, you know? And it's just like, wow, you know, I just took life for granted.
Pastor KL, what'd you take for granted? What do you take for granted?
Well, you know, sometimes we take for granted that, you know, we just wake up on our own. And we just start life on our own, and we think that, you know, this whole day belongs to us, you know, and we can do what we want to do without even saying thank you, Lord, for waking me up in the morning. Sometimes, you know, I take it for granted. I'm in a rush, or my mind is in a busy day, and I'm like, I don't take time to say, Lord, I know it was you. Lord, I know it was your blood, you know, and we take that for granted. And only sometimes when our back is up against the wall, we want to acknowledge God in all of our ways, you know. But we have to trust in him with all our ways, you know. And sometimes we take that for granted. We take for granted that God is a keeper, you know. He's a protector. He's a provider. And we forget to say thank you for even the small thing, for the air that we breathe. You know, there's some folks that's walking around on oxygen, but we're not. There's some folks that need a, I think it's called a Rollator, but we don't. We can walk on our own. We take things for granted that we have arms and we have legs. We can eat on our own. We can go to the bathroom on our own. We don't need nothing strapped up to us where we have to pee in a bag. We take a lot of things for granted, but today I say thank you, Lord, for even the small things, even for the little things. You know, they say little becomes much when you place it in the master's hands.
Thank you. Is somebody's supposed to be saying thank you today? Now, we're all supposed to be saying thank you, but somebody still didn't get it. Somebody didn't hear Brother Al say, you know, when he was in his college days, he was running all around, and, you know, he ended up with this one and that one and that one and this one. But still, God preserved that help. They didn't hear Pastor KL said I was not jumping on a plane possibly coming back with somebody to leave home with. But just jumping on the plane was chance. When we get in the car every day, when we get on these trains every day, when we walk outside every day, somebody didn't get it yet. Somebody didn't get it yet. Somebody didn't get it yet. And we're going to pray that by the end of this broadcast, that somebody, is that somebody you? Isn't that a song? Is that somebody you? Is that somebody you that just didn't get it? And even after all of this silence, just the talking, just the words, just God, you still didn't get it. I want to give this story here. There's a 27-year-old Indian man that plans to sue his parents for giving birth to him without his consent. Yep, y'all heard me. 27-year-old man who plans to sue his parents for giving birth to him without his consent. Now, he's from Mumbai, and he believes that it's wrong to bring children into the world because then they have to put up with lifelong suffering. Now, he understands consent can't be born, but insists that it was not our decision to be born. So as we didn't ask to be born, we should be paid for the rest of our lives to live, he argues. And his mother says, I must admire my son's temerity to want to take his parents to court, knowing both of us are lawyers. And if Raphael could come up with a rational explanation as to how we could have sought his consent to be born, I will accept my fault, she said. And they call it antinatalism, a philosophy that argues that life is so full of misery that people should stop procreating immediately. He says, there's no point to humanity. So many people are suffering. If humanity is extinct, earth and animals would be happier. They'll certainly be better off. Also, no human will then suffer. Human existence is totally pointless. He says, isn't forcing a child into this world and forcing it to have a career, kidnapping and slavery? Or your parents had you instead of a toy or a dog. You owe them nothing. You are their entertainment. He said, I was a normal kid. One day I was very frustrated and I didn't want to go to school, but my parents kept asking me to go. So I asked them, why did you have me? And my dad had no answer. I think if he'd been able to answer, maybe I wouldn't have thought this way. He says his mom reacted very well and dad is warming up to the idea. He says, Mom said she wished she had met me before I was born, and that if she did, she definitely wouldn't have had me. She told me that she was quite young when she had me and that she didn't know she had another option. But that's what I'm trying to say. Everyone has the option. His belief in antinatalism, his concern for the burden on Earth's resources due to needless life, his sensitivity towards the pain experienced unwittingly by children while growing up, and so much more has been ruefully forgotten. I'm very happy that my son has grown up into a fearless, independent-thinking young man. He is sure to find his path to happiness. He said 6 months ago, one day at breakfast, I told my mother that I was going to sue her. And she said, "That's fine, but don't expect me to go easy on you. I will destroy you in court." Mr. Samuel is now looking for a lawyer to take up his case, but so far he's not had much. I know it's going to be thrown out because no judge would hear it, but I do want to file a case because I want to make a point. Some argue logically, some are offended, and some are offensive, he says, as he's posting on Facebook, that some responses have been positive but mostly negative, with some even advising him to go kill yourself. He says, "I wish I was not born, but it's not that I'm unhappy in my life. My life is good, but I'd rather not be here. You know, it's like there's a nice room, but I don't want to be in that room," he explains. All that has been said this morning. How does that play in your head, Brother Al? All that has been said by this young man.
Man, I'm listening to it, and it's crazy, and it proves what I've been saying for a while now, that these kids can be older than some. Number one, to me, it seems like he's on the other side of the fence, because if he was on this side of the fence telling his parents he's going to sue him and he's going to do this and that, he probably wouldn't have made it out safe. You know, but, you know, just tell me how ungrateful he is, how he's not thankful. Okay, I didn't actually be here for you only. You know, your mother nourished you in her stomach. You know, she nourished you. She fed you. They clothed you. They put you through school. And you're not thankful, or you still feel that you owe something. Somebody owe you something. You know, man. And of course, you ain't going to find a lawyer because they're going to laugh at you. You know, or some lawyer might say, "You know what, this is going to be famous. I'm going to be on TV. Let me take the case and take his money. I know I'm going to lose, but you know what? I'm going to take it anyway, because they'll be talking about this for years, because you got some lawyers want that fame." So, oh, man, just not thankful and ungrateful.
Pastor KL, with all we just got finished saying, he's lived to 27 years old so far. How does that not match what we just got finished talking about?
Well, he's definitely not great. You know, I mean, the great Shirley Caesar sings a song, "No Charge." She basically says, "For 9 months I carried. I took care of you all through your life, and I didn't charge you a penny. No charge. And here you are now wanting to sue me for the things that I've done for you." You know, when you ask me, "Well, why did I have you?" So Jesus said that before you were formed, I knew you. I sanctified you. I declared that you would be a prophet to the nation, that meaning that I knew what you would do, and I knew what you would become. So God had already ordained it to happen. And here you are being ungrateful to your parents and to God. Because remember, God, even through your parents, he's still the one who's sustaining you to your 27 years. You know, to keep you clothed and in your right mind to even come up with this concoction to sue. You know, so to me, you're very ungrateful. You're very ungrateful. You don't know. The mama says she was young and maybe she would not have made that decision. So therefore, you don't know what it took for her to get you to 27, let alone to get you to 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. So I think you're just very ungrateful.
Mm-hmm. Isn't forcing a child into this world and forcing it to have a career kidnapping and slavery, Brother Al?
That's insane to me. How is that forcing you to have a career? They just telling you to leave the nest. You know what I'm saying? Get you a career so you can leave the nest. I ain't got to take care of you all your life, ungrateful person, unthankful person. So that's crazy to me.
Oh, Pastor KL, isn't forcing a child into this world and forcing it to have a career kidnapping and slavery?
Not at all. You have to work. The Bible says the man of the work should not eat. So therefore, if you have no career, you're not bringing any money in. If you're not bringing any money in, how are you paying to take care of yourself? You know, at 27, you are grown. You're grown enough to say, I want to sue. So now you have to pay the lawyer. You know, you have to pay to eat. You have to pay to survive. Because, listen, whether you like it or not, you're here. So since you're here, you have to listen. You have to do the things of the land. The land, this is what we do. We go out. We work. And we take care of ourselves. You know, at a certain point, you can no longer stay with mommy and daddy. Listen, if you want to sue me, I know you're not staying with me. So yeah, you should be forced to go out. How are you going to pay for the lawyer if you don't get a career, if you don't have a job?
Funny you gentlemen should bring this up, because I have another that I want you to comment on. The parents of a 30-year-old man have resorted to drastic measures in an effort to get their son to fly the coop. They are suing him. Court documents say Michael Rotundo does not pay rent or help with chores and has ignored his parents' offers of money to get him settled. Despite doling out 5 eviction letters, they say their son still refuses to move out. He says he was not given enough notice to leave. Mr. and Mrs. Rotundo filed their case after months of unsuccessfully urging their son to leave. The would-be empty nester's lawyer told the papers that the couple did not know how else to get their adult son out of their house. We have decided that you must leave this house immediately, read the first letter from February. When Michael ignored the letter, his parents wrote up a proper eviction notice with the help of their lawyer. You are hereby evicted was the second notice that they received. A legal enforcement procedure will be instituted immediately if you do not leave by March. The couple then offered their son $1,100 to move out, along with some sharp commentary about his behavior. There are jobs available even for those with a poor work history like you. Go get one. You have to work. By the end of March, however, it was becoming clear their son had no intention on leaving. So these parents went to their local town court to see if they could evict their son. But they were told that he was family and they would need a Supreme Court justice to officially send him packing. Michael has called his parents' lawsuit retaliatory and has asked the court to toss out the request. They say they will take their case to Supreme Court right before his 31st birthday. So, Brother Al, you brought up he wouldn't leave. And now here we are.
I'm sitting there. I'm wondering what state they live in, because you don't have to go to Supreme Court. You go to tenant landlord court like anybody else. You get a 30-day notice. After that 30-day notice, you will go to the court, and they will give him some time to leave. And when that time come up and he's not there, the sheriff come and drag him out, period. So I'm just trying to wonder what state they're in that they're going there. And, you know, it seems like they spoiled him from the beginning. You wouldn't let him do anything, you know, I'm assuming. Yeah, I wouldn't let him do anything or work or whatever. And now that he's older, you want him to lead a nest. But he's comfortable now. He's comfortable. And he got to be on the other side of the fence again, because we're not doing that. I'm going to tell you to leave one time. You're not leaving. I'm going to get my stick with a nail in the end of it, and I'm going to help you leave. Or you're going to come back, and the lock's going to be changed. So they still giving him chances, even though, oh, we want you out, we want you out. It's still little things that they can do that they refuse not to do. Because it's like they're giving him chances. I understand it. That's your child. You know, your son, you want to give him chances. But once I tell you, you got to go, you got to go. You know, and I went through that with my son. When I went through the situation with him stealing, and it was in November. And I told him, January 1st, you need to be out my house. He cried, Dad, I ain't got nowhere to go. January 1st, you need to be out my house or it's going to get ugly. And he was out in December. I put the foot down. There's no chances, no nothing. So it's things that they could do. It's hard putting your child out in the street. But you know what? He's laying up doing nothing. You got to go. You got to go.
Well, Brother Al, this was a case in New York. And one of the glitches in the case is that despite the fact that, you know, this was a case where, you know, they should have just been able to put him out because he was their child. Even at the age of 30, that's what complicated the issue. So that's why they were told that they had to go to Supreme Court because...
Wow.
Yeah, because they said because he was family. They would have to go to Supreme Court. So, you know, he got a chance to, he got a pass to stay. They don't say what ultimately happened, but yeah, this is what happens at the age of 30. And you can't even get him out. Pastor KL, 30.
Yeah, I can't even imagine it. I can't even fathom that. At 30 years old, you know, I'm with Brother Al. You had to allow him to do nothing for years, and now you're frustrated about it. But you've already created a monster. I remember putting my child out at 19. You didn't want to go back to school. You didn't want to work. You was not laying up in my house while I went to work. So at 19, my child, I put her out. The female child, you know, eventually she came to herself and came back home. But no, I'm not, you're not laying up while I'm paying all the bills. You sucking up my air condition. You're burning up my heat. You know, you're using my electricity. You're eating up all my food. You're not contributing at all. And then you want to tell me you think this is foolish that I have to put you out, and you're not helping out in no way. You 30. So how old am I? You know, I've already lived my life, and I'm still trying to provide for you. How long must I mourn for Saul?
You know, I'm. It says they offered him $1,100 to move out. So whether you want to look at this $1,100 as okay. Well, it's $1,100 that we're offering you to move out, or it's $1,100 startup money. Either way, they offered him money, and he turned it down because he did not want to leave. Brother Al, would you have offered money at any point to get him out, whether it was, okay, I'm going to pay you to get out, or I'm going to offer you money to help you? Because I know it's a little expensive to move, but I'm going to help you out here. Would you offer any money?
You asking me, Pastor?
Yes.
I'm sorry, because I was talking with the kids. Would I offer any money? I would. I ain't going to just throw them to the wolves like that, but I would say, okay, you know what? Check it out. I'm going to help you out, so I'm going to offer you some money to help you get started. I'm going to start you off, then you got to go from there. So, yeah, I will offer you.
Okay. Pastor KL, would you offer him money, whether it was $1,100 as, you know what, I'm going to pay you just to leave, or $1,100 or any amount of money, because you know what, I know how hard it is. I want to, you know, help you to get out, get started.
Yeah, I think I would definitely offer some money to get out and get started. It wouldn't be like a throw you to the wolves, but you know, the latter. I know how hard it is. So yeah, let me, you know, help me help you. You know, what do we need to do to get you to the next level? And then after that, my rod and my staff is gonna comfort you, but you're gonna get out one way or the other.
Ooh-wee. Well, I want to go to the next step. There's a couple in northern India who's suing their only son and his wife for not giving them a grandchild after 6 years of marriage. So this couple, 61 and 57 years old, say that they used up their savings raising their son, paying for his pilot's training, as well as giving him a lavish lifestyle. I'm sorry, a lavish wedding. And they say they're demanding compensation worth nearly $650,000 if no grandchild is born within a year. And they are really upset because they say that at least the father is saying that he spent all his savings on his son, sending him to the United States in 2006 for pilot training at a cost of $65,000. He returned to India in 2007, but lost his job, and his family had to support him financially for more than 2 years. He's 35 years old, and he did eventually get a job as a pilot. His parents say they arranged his marriage to this young lady, who's now 31, in 2016, in the hope that they would have a grandchild to play with during their retirement. The parents say they paid for a wedding reception in a 5-star hotel, a luxury car worth $80,000, and a honeymoon abroad. He says, my son has been married for 6 years, but they are still not planning a baby. At least if we have a grandchild to spend time with, our pain will become unbearable. The couple's lawyer says that the couple they demanded the money because of mental cruelty. It's a dream of every parent to become a grandparent. They had been waiting for years to become grandparents, and they're waiting for their opportunity to be heard in court. Brother Al, let's start with the fact that he emptied out his entire savings, the dad. So let's say they emptied out their entire savings, because, you know, if it's his, it's hers. $65,000 to send him to pilot training school. And just in general, after spending the $65,000 on pilot training school, do you feel he has any ability to put a demand on his son's life for anything because he emptied out his savings?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. I would say no. You know, your child wanted to do something. We're here to nourish and take care of our children. Your child is doing something positive where he could have been doing something else crazy. So you decide to say, you know what, I'm going to help you out and do that. If that was the case, you should say, well, listen, you're going to have to take out student loans or whatever needs to be done to get where you need to be. But you volunteer, hey, it's my son, he's doing this, so you know what, I'm going to pay for it. So, No.
Okay. Pastor KL, he emptied out his $65,000 savings account. Do you feel he has any say in having, you know, what his son does?
Absolutely not, to be honest with you. You know, from a man who has seven children, you know, all seven of my children went to college. In fact, at one point, I had three children in college at the same time. So it's quite expensive, you know, and to now say, you know, because I put you through college, you know, now you have to do something for me. No. And for the woman who's fighting about this, I want you to know that sometimes grandchildren are overrated. You know, you fight for these grandchildren, but you just got all.
We're not there yet. All righty. I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna get there. All right. So they say they paid for a wedding reception in a 5-star hotel, a luxury car worth $80,000, and a honeymoon abroad. Would you pay for all those things, Brother Al, for any of your children, girl or boy?
The answer to that is absolutely not. I may help you out a little bit, but I ain't going broke to help you with this lavish wedding. That just ain't happening. Now, I'll throw you a couple of coins. That's about it.
Okay. Pastor KL, a reception in a 5-star hotel, a luxury car worth $80,000, and a honeymoon abroad.
Well, no, I'm not, listen, I'm in Alabama. Alabama, we got a lot of land. So I got a big backyard, you know, and I cook very well, so I cater every now and then. And then I got a brand new Hyundai. So that's what you're going to get. You're going to get in the backyard. We're going to put a few chairs and tables back there. We're going to cook up something, you know, put something on the grill. And then you can drive around in my car. That's it.
You better than me, Pastor Chad. I'm going to get him an Uber.
What? Wait. You said that y'all could throw something on the grill. Oh my God!
Grill food is the best.
Oh my goodness gracious! All right, and so now we get to the nucleus of this thing here. They say that my son has been married for 6 years, but they are still not planning a baby. At least if we have a grandchild to spend time with, our pain will become unbearable. The lawyer says that they're suing because of mental cruelty. And it is a dream of every parent to become a grandparent. They had been waiting for years to become grandparents. Now, ironically, I was talking to my surgeon yesterday. And I said, Dr. Satterfield, you got grandchildren? I don't even know why I went to the grandchildren. Now, I had asked him, I said, you work all the time. I said, do you have grandchildren? He said, yes, he has two. I said, how old are they? He said, 6 and 7. I said, oh, they young. He said, well, that comes from like a stepdaughter, something like that. So then he said, but my own children, they're older, they're adults, they're young adults. I said, oh, I said, do you spend family time? You spend grandpa time? He didn't say anything at first. But I tell you, I almost had to ask, did he hear me? And I know he had to hear me because he was right there. And he said, after a minute, he said, oh, I gave that life up. I said, oh. So now I read this story where these parents are upset because they feel deprived that they were not given grandchildren. Even after, I guess they figured they set the stage. You know, we help you do all of this. There was no concern for you to do any of this. But now it's about that time that you give us some grandchildren. So, Pastor KL, I'm definitely coming to you because you sound like what Dr. Satterfield was talking about. And, Al, I want to ask you first, you know, do you feel like your children owe you grandchildren, or do you feel if your family didn't get expanded and there was no lineage behind you, that there would be something you would be missing out on?
Not at all. You know, I love the grandkids. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the grandkids. But then what happened with that? You become from a grandparent to the parent. You want to drop them off all the time. Listen, I'm chilling today. I don't feel like watching them today. You know what I'm saying? So you're not obligated. I mean, now, if you have them, oh, yeah, I love my grand. I love them. I'll see you in the season. But you're not obligated to say, you know, for me to say, yo, you better have grandchildren so I can have it. So I'm listening to these people. And you know what? If it's that much on you, how about you adopt your little grand? Or more than that, get you a dog. All right, get you a little dog and let him run around. You can play with him all day long.
Okay. But Brother Al, do you feel like if your lineage didn't continue, would you be losing out on something?
No, I don't think I'd be losing out on nothing. I mean, hey, if it was meant to happen, it happened. If not, then, you know, hey, listen. No, I don't think I'd be losing out on anything.
All right. I said to Dr. Satterfield, I said, Dr. Satterfield, do you spend family time? Do you do the grandpa thing? Cricket. And then he said, just like this, oh, I gave that life up. Pastor KL, it sounds like you're saying, I could give that life up.
well, listen, let me first put it in my caption in my, but I love all eight. Did I say eight? All eight of my grandchildren. But it becomes, your house becomes like old McDonald's farm with a grandchild here and a grandchild there, everywhere a grandchild. You know, and it becomes frustrating. You come home from a 10-hour work, you come home, and the grandchild is opening up the door to your dismay.
Wow,
you know?
Wow.
And now they want to play. You know, now my grandchildren live far, so when they come over, they're staying. They're not just coming. It's no visitation. It's habitation. You know? So, no, it's overrated. I'm telling you. After the first child, you know, they go to the bathroom and it becomes nice and, you know, look at the boo-boo and all that stuff. But when they get older, they don't want to sit on the pot. That boo-boo becomes stink stuff. This is overrated. Listen, and then my last thing I will say on this, if you could not afford to pay for your child's education, you know, then what you think, these grandchildren are just another bill. They're just not called light bill or water bill, but they are a bill. Every time they come, grandma, grandpa, you got something? They're a bill. I can't buy my own stuff a Twinkie, but you want a Twinkie and a lollipop. No, they're overrated. And they,
oh, my God.
I think my kids, because I'm a preacher, my kids only scripture is be fruitful and multiply. Because all of them got kids. Now, they all married now, but they all got kids. One is pregnant now. Lord Jesus, help us all.
Woo. Pastor Kale, would you be disappointed? Now, because this is different now.
No.
This is difficult.
No, I'm not disappointed. Okay. No, I know the question. I'm not disappointed. I'm not disappointed. In fact, I'm happy because I'm saving. I'm saving. You know, all my money goes into my savings now. Listen, I don't need a lineage. I know my last name. And then you forget, I got mostly girls. I'm not even going to have my name going nowhere. All their names are changed.
All righty. Wow. Wow. You know, you know, they say that children, the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord, and there are church folk who continue to multiply because they say that, you know, I'm not going to stop what God is doing, because if God keeps giving me children, this is a gift from God. What do you say to that, Brother Al?
They are a gift. You know, they are a gift, but I don't want too many gifts. You know, they say, your children are a gift to God. I ain't hearing nothing about no grandchildren. I heard your children. I ain't hearing nothing about no grandchildren. So, you know, don't bring me too many gifts.
So, okay. So that's where I'm going next. So if the children are considered a gift, you don't feel the grandchildren fall in that category? Or do you feel the grandchildren, let me not put it that way, do you feel the grandchildren fall in that category?
I think the grandchildren fall in extra gift. They extra with the package. They're a gift for the gift.
Oh, goodness gracious. Pastor KL, what's your thought process on, okay, so God says that children are a gift from, the Bible says children are a gift from God. How does that convert into grandchildren, or does it convert into grandchildren?
Listen, okay, since we want to go biblical. Yeah, children are a gift from God. But it also says, act and you shall receive. I didn't ask for these grandchildren, but I'm receiving them. You know, I think that if this is something that you're planning, you know, and I know this is your private little family over here, but we should all have a family meeting. Because at some point, you don't want me to drive them to dance class. At some point, you don't want me to pick them up from school. So we need to all talk about this. It's just not between you, your husband, or you and your wife. We need to have a church meeting where I know where I stand. Yes, you can have the kids, but don't ask me to pick them up. Let's have an understanding. The Bible says, above all things, get an understanding.
Why do you think that it becomes an, they feel like, you know, it's an inheritance, you know, for you to now, you know, I have these children and now there's this expectation of, you know, of what you do as a grandparent, Brother Al.
I'm sorry, Pastor. Say that again. I'm sorry.
I was saying, why do you feel that there are children who have these children, but now there's an expectation from the grandparents to be so involved with the children? Like, if you don't get involved with the children, they're insulted. You know, you should do this or you should do that. That's what grandparents do.
That's crazy. You don't tell me I have to. I mean, I would like to be because they're my grandchildren, but, you know, to tell me that you got an expectation. Because I've seen some kids where they have a kid and they expect the grandparents to now all of a sudden be a babysitter. You know, that's not going to happen. Like, I'm here to take care of them. I didn't raise you, and I'm living life. I'm living my life now. So I'm not going to stop my life to take care of your child, you know, especially if he's anything like you, because you gave me problems. So if he's anything like you, it's going to be, you're going to deal with a little image of yourself. You're going to deal with a little image of yourself because you gave me hell. Now it's your time.
Oh my goodness gracious, he said you gave me hell. Oh my gosh. Pastor KL, you know, years ago, you know, you understood that, you know, you may have asked your parents for, you know, help or something like that. But it seems to have been this curve where there's this expectation of grandparents. How did we get here? Why do we think, you know, why do you think that there's been this turn of lack of appreciation but an expectation?
Okay. This is how I think it got here. Y'all know I always say children are having children. And I think it stems from you mothers as far as the grandmother, because the grandmothers always know best. You know, oh, hold the head up. Don't do this. You birth the baby. Don't do this. Listen, sometimes you got to let that head fall. The head falls a couple of times, you'll learn how to pick it up. You know, I think the problem is we as grandparents, because we've been down this road before, we feel that we know better. And we always critiquing and criticizing. And then the child is like, well, mama going to take care of you better than me. No, we're going to let the baby bump his toe. You know, if I say hot one time and you keep on going there, you're going to burn yourself. These are the things we had to learn. Listen, if mama said don't put the fork in the plug, and you went over there and put the fork in the plug, okay, you won't do it again, will you? You know, so kids are not teaching their children. They're just passing it off to the grandparents because the grandparents keep on critiquing. No, you can't do it like this. Listen, let Johnny bust his head, and then y'all learn it again. That's how
it would take a man to say these things. Oh my goodness gracious. You know,
one more Johnny jumping on the bed.
Oh goodness. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Again, you know, we're going into the weekend with some thoughts, you know, with some thought process. You know, we've talked about the expectation of a child, adult child, an ungrateful stance of, you know, you didn't get my consent to bring me here. You have one that you couldn't pay to get out the house. You've got the grandparents who paid to have the grandchildren. What do you want to say to leave us this weekend? What do you want to leave us with this weekend, Brother Al?
Okay. I want to leave it this weekend to all the listeners. As we, you know, we always have a little fun and we talk about serious issues. And Pastor Steph said it all this morning. Be thankful. And we think we are in control of our life, and we're not. Every morning that you wake up, God got plans for you. Every time it should have been me, but it wasn't, God got plans for you. So don't take it for granted. You know, wake up in that morning, thank your Savior for waking you up this morning, and just go forward and live life and treat people well. And just be thankful. That's the biggest thing, is being thankful. Because if you don't be thankful, God will say, okay, you're not thankful for that? Okay, you won't get nothing else. So keep that in mind.
All righty. Thank you so much, Brother Al. Thank you so much for those parting words. Pastor Kale, we covered a lot of stuff today. What do you want to leave our listeners with?
I just want to echo, you know, what Brother Al is saying. We have to be thankful. We have to be grateful. You know, we have to be thankful to God, and then we also have to be thankful for the people that are helping us, who are supporting us, that we take for granted. You know, at some point, you got to take up your bed and walk. You know, at some point, you got to grow up. You know, I believe Jesus asked the man, he said, listen, you know, do you want to get in the water? You know, and he made all these excuses. Well, every time I want to get in, it seems like somebody gets in there before me. But he never said whether he wanted to get in or not. God is saying, listen, I want to promote you. I want to take you to the next level. Do you want to get in the water? Or do you still want to keep making excuses about it? You know, we just take for granted that we're supposed to be able to be helped into the water. And God is saying, listen, I can only help you if you ask for the help. I can only help you if you want to receive the help and stop making excuses on where you are. Yeah, I've been here 30 years, but do you want to live with your mother and father for 30 years? Do you want to continue to do this, or do you want to have a life on your own? God is saying, I want to get you to the next level, but you keep getting all in your way. So be grateful that where you are today, because some people don't even have it this good. As bad as you may think it is, some folks don't even have it this good. You know, so be grateful for where you are, and allow God to move into your life and take you to where you need to go.
Amen, men. Amen, gentlemen. Thank you so much. And we appreciate and we give God thanks for your contribution to today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed weekend.
You do the same. You do the same.
Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Well, we've reached the time in our morning where we will hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we say thank you. We always start off our prayer with the word of thanks. And today, God, we're going to just lift you up and bless your holy name, because as said earlier, it should have been me, but because of your awesomeness, you have spared me from not only the things that I see, but from the things that I have no idea that could have even reached me. And I thank you, God, because you didn't have to do it, but you did. You are so, so, so worthy of our praise. You are so worthy because you're awesome in all your ways. All your ways. And how can we say thank you? I ask this question all the time. You know, how can we say thank you? Because thank you is so small and trivial for all that you do. Because thank you is just two small words for all that you do. And nothing you do is small. You are always so grandiose in what you do. It's always huge. It may appear small to us, but it's so huge. It may seem small to you, but it is so huge to us. Because as just was said, you know, Pastor Kale said, we don't even have to worry about some of the things other people have to worry about. People don't get what we've received. People have not gotten what we get all the time. And Lord, I always like to tell you, thank you for the investment. Here we are another day with a picture of all the different ways that people look at life and the expectation that they have. And I say thank you, because if we walked into this morning, this broadcast this morning, with that level of expectation, I pray, God, that you have shown us a different way. That we will not leave the way we came in. That we will not understand what we understood when we came in. When we entered the room this morning. Thank you so much for just always loving us. For always keeping us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for just always good. And we want to thank you for being a God that's always good. Because you didn't have to do it. You did not have to do it. But you did. You did not have to do it. Because you owe us nothing. If you were to stop giving us right now, what could we complain about? Thank you so much. Thank you so much, God. And we pray that as these days come and go and we hear how blessed we are, that we will learn to stop saying thank you and start living a life of gratitude, that it would be our mission to not just disciple, but to show you how much we're grateful for, to just show you our level of gratitude. So we want to continue to bless your name. We want to continue to do what you say, and we pray that everyone who hears this broadcast will enter into a new phase of thanks. We pray this and so many more things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You know, I'm so grateful this morning, you know, just like I said, you know, thinking about all that God has done for us, you know, these stories came from, I would like to say, a catalog from the Indian community. Every one of those stories was from the Indian community. And, you know, I look at the son who says, you know, you should, you know, you owe me because you didn't get my consent to bring me into this world. And I know it doesn't make any sense. This is what he's saying. I know it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I'm trying to get lawyers to take my case, but, you know, I can't find anybody to take my case. You know, at the end of the day, in essence, it's a joke. It's a joke to him. And that's what this life has become. It becomes a joke that you would go to your parents who are lawyers. So if they're lawyers, I don't have to tell you how much money has been invested into even getting to become a lawyer. I don't have to tell you how much hard work that, you know, they have exemplified and done to become lawyers. That ain't nothing you do overnight. That's a lot of hard work and time and money that you put into doing that and just getting into that profession. And all you can look at your parents and say is you didn't ask me because it's to bring children here and then expect them to work is unfair, pretty much. It's unfair. So it just goes to show you the lack of gratitude that even exists, that you would even waste time when your parents have shown you how precious time is and what to do with your time. They haven't shown you a mediocre life where you could really complain and say, you know, my parents have come here and, you know, they've done so little, but they expect so much. That's the way I look at God. With all that he requires us to do, we cannot say that he's done so little and he expects so much. Because whatever he's done has been major and it's been massive. And he never stops working. Never, ever, ever stops working. And nothing he's ever not done himself. So he set an example, as these parents have. And all you could come back with is all that God owes you. How come God hasn't done this? And how come God hasn't done that? When you've done nothing but suck up the air in the room. And yet, there's something that you've been expecting. So we're hearing and we're assessing, you know, what this young man is saying and doing. But at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, are we really doing the same thing? Are we really doing the same thing? Hey. Let's make sure we're not. Let's make sure that we're showing an attitude of gratitude. And we are really showing this world what we feel God has done. And that God owes us nothing and we owe him everything. So let's make sure we do what we need to do. okay? So that nothing we do would not be accepted or acceptable to God, because he's done so much. He's done so much for each and every one of us. All right? Let's make sure we do what we need to do. It's not hard. When you just start thinking about what God is doing, when we think about what God has done, and as long as there's breath in our bodies, what God will do, whether we're worthy of it or not, because he's done a whole lot that we're not worthy of. So let's make sure that everything we do not come across like this young man who says, you know what? I feel you didn't ask for my consent in order to bring me here. Let's make sure we take care of business properly at all times so that God would understand, feel, hear, and see our level of appreciation. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are not on the earth or on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my two-time crew for coming through big time for us and sending us into a fantastic weekend. Thank you for hanging out with us all week and making our week just spectacular. Please do not miss the opportunity to give life, give God your life right now, because later is not promised to us. You know, we got Sunday coming up, God spares, at 9 o'clock, the Word Prayer Project. Come on in the room and join us. Make sure you come on in the room and join us and help us see why we hold hands and we hold hearts together so we can chase more than 2,000. One sends 1,000 to flight, two sends 2,000 to flight. So let's make sure we send the legion of angels out into this world just by the sound of our voice. So I'm going to do something a little different. I want to give you an opportunity to just listen. Just listen. Just listen to the beautiful music as God spares our life into the next moment, into the next minute, into the next hour. I love you.